I remember Easter when I was growing up. It was definitely one of my favorite seasons and holidays of all time. It was the bestest. We colored eggs and we played silly games and we had a lot of fun. And we also knew the reason for the holiday, and that it would be one day of the year in which our whole family dressed up. We dressed up and we went to church. Not only that, I did have a hand-me-down sports coat, but my mom would always put this bow tie on me. So my uncle would call me bow tie. But I enjoyed that. It was just enjoyable that one time of the year, you're spiffing yourself up, and I needed a lot of it, by the way, just dressing yourself up and going to church service. Easter bonnets were in style back then. That shows you how old I am. Isn't it funny? I see no Easter bonnet here today. That really shows you how old I am. But you had Easter bonnets, and you had just a great time of everybody in the community. You see them before church walking to church in their dress attire. And we just knew that it was a special occasion. And then later we'd come home to the baskets full up with that colored stuff that they call fake grass, I guess. And then in there would be what? What would be in there? Be chocolate, chocolate bunnies, chocolate crosses, these little marshmallow peepees, lots of jelly beans. What else? Is that colored eggs. And what a delight that was. I'm going to take a little survey here because it's very important to me. How many here had Easter baskets growing up? Okay? And how many here had chocolate bunnies in there? Okay, now here's a bigger question. Who here ate the head first? All right. Okay. Who here ate the feet first? Oh, you're cruel. Such a cruel. And who here, like me, was guilty about eating those chocolate crosses? Nobody. I guess it was just me. But it certainly was a grand celebration. And with the onset of spring, like I told you, flowers were blooming and leaves were starting to come out on the branches. And it was a time to feel alive, just to feel alive again. The McGee family was not always alive. My mom had suffered bouts of depression, and there were certain times that she was very depressed, and most of the time she didn't like to venture outside the doors of the house. The house was her sanctuary, and most of the time she would be shut up in that house and really try to shut the world out. And some reason, she just seemed entombed by that house, not venturing outside. I remember when we would plan our picnics going to a amusement park, and we'd have everything ready to go, and then at the very last minute, Mom would say that she can't do it, and we wouldn't go. To the sadness and frustration of all of us kids. Because when she was entombed, we somewhat felt entombed too. But there was that one day I remember, and that day at where she was coaxed by all of her sisters, my aunts, to go to a picnic at Lakemont Park in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and she went, and it was a glorious day. We laughed, and she laughed, and it was a time of sharing, finally having everybody enjoying life, and life abundantly. Sometimes we entomb ourselves. You kind of ask, how come as Christians we like to stay in our box? Why do we want to hide from circumstances and situations? Why do we want to hide and be entombed in this little box, this confining box, this box of hopelessness and despair and loneliness and fear of the outside? Why can't we as Christians live with the knowledge that Christ is alive and He has something good for us, something better for us, and that He's active. He's active every day in our lives, and that there is no fear about venturing out with Him by our side. Well, today ends the fourth and last Easter sermon. It's one of my favorite topics, and that is remembering that He is risen. I also call this sermon Within the Tomb or Being Boxed In. With that, let's go to your Bibles and turn to John chapter 20. Go to your Bibles and turn to John chapter 20. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Again, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. And before we start, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is alive. Why don't you do that? Yeah, I like that. Like, matter of fact, I like it so much. Say it again with emphasis. Let's say it again. Oh, right. I like this congregation. Okay, let us read. John 20, verses 1 through 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as a burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciples had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and he believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Before I start my sermon, I want to talk about this or show you something of the modern age of the story of the death and resurrection of Christ. Okay? Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And it's for this day that we celebrate your resurrection. When all things seemed hopeless, we see you rise from that grave and fulfill the promises that you made to us, which was on the third day you would rise again. Dear Lord, we pray that your word will come out strong to us, that we have a better understanding of the events at the tomb, and that we can live our life understanding that you have freed us and we are free indeed. So that, Lord, I ask you bless this service, you anoint this place, Lord, that every word that I speak is directly from your throne. So, Lord, I lift myself up to you. I lift this congregation up to you with great excitement and anticipation about talking about the empty tomb. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said. Amen. You ever wonder what really possessed John and Peter to run to the tomb? You ever think that maybe they were just afraid that someone stole Jesus' body? That that's all there was to it? That maybe somebody had taken the body away? Or do you think that they absolutely remembered what Jesus said to them with using these words on the third day? There might have been a lot of doubts going through their minds from what happened on Friday. The brutality of the crucifixion, which we displayed this past Good Friday. The brutalness of it. When Christ hung on the cross, the finality of it. Like this is the end. It just seemed so brutal and so final that probably most of the disciples lost hope, lost total hope, and hid in fear. And that's the truth. They hid in fear. These men that followed this Christ for 3 years lost all hope and hid because they lived in fear. Maybe they were so shocked that the Messiah would be killed that when Jesus was placed in the tomb, the disciples may have gone to their own tomb, a tomb of depression, a tomb of fear, a tomb of hopelessness, and the pain you feel when you're absolutely are lost, that type of pain. Isn't it interesting that they believed and remembered everything about Jesus except the most important words ever spoken, and that is, on the third day, he would raise to life. Isn't that amazing? Throughout this whole ordeal, throughout this whole time of hiding and crying and being in fear, they remembered everything that Jesus said except on the third day. This is probably the most powerful event in the history of the world. And that is on the third day that this Jesus would be raised. It's very important. I'm going to need your help. Here on cue, I want you to say on the third day. So let's practice. One, two, three. On the third day. Because on the third day is a very, very important time frame. It's a fact that we must remember he is risen and that this event is not coincidental. It was not coincidental. Matter of fact, the resurrection was prophesied. Prophesied in Isaiah and Hosea. You've all heard of the suffering servant from Isaiah, the suffering servant who would be stricken for our transgressions, one who had done no violence nor had any deceit in his mouth. That was prophesied. Does that sound like somebody you know? It does. It sounds like our Jesus. Hosea 6, 2 through 3 says this, after 2 days, he will revive us and he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. This these verses in Hosea is a foreshadowing of what was to come with the death and resurrection of Jesus. It tells it all. You know, up to the first 2 days, it was pain. It was the suffering of Christ. It was us understanding that we went to the tomb with Him. Not that we had to. We just felt that pain. We just felt that loss because here was a Messiah that was going to save us from everything. Yet on the third day, it says here, He will restore us. The third day is important. On the third day, He rose from the grave and He restored us. It's like putting a big exclamation point. The death is done. Death has been defeated. And Christ has risen. So that He can may restore us. Listen to this. On the third day, He will restore us that we may live in His presence. Isn't that great? He restored us. He died for our sins so we could have a right relationship with God the Father. I mean, this is back in Hosea. Written years and years and years before the death of Christ. That we would have this individual that would die for us. That on the third day would rise and complete His task of putting us in right relationship to God the Father. Right relationship. Covering our sins, blotting them out, taking our sins as far as the east is from the west. We can't go to God in right relationship with sin. We can't do it. It's impossible. God wouldn't look at us. But it's His blood that was shed for us that covered all that. So that we can have a right relationship with God. It's important that on the third day He rose so He could stand on the right-hand side of God to say, Scott, you're in. Steve, you're in. Ed, you're in. Joe, you're in. Nora, you're in. Nancy, you're in. Think about that on the third day. Number two, the resurrection was announced. It was announced over and over and over again. It wasn't just prophesied. Jesus informed or announced it to His disciples constantly. It's like, hey guys, here's a scoop. I'm going to die. I'm going to be brutally beaten. I'm going to be handed over. But on the third day, I'm going to be raised to life. Luke 24:46-47 says, He told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Then Matthew says this, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that He must be killed and be raised to life. How could they miss that? How do we miss that? How do we not remember the third day? This certainly isn't the only place in John that mentions the resurrection. John 17:23 said, they will kill Him and He will be raised. John 20:19 says, and he will be delivered to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified and will be raised. Jesus had a tough time, didn't He? They didn't even focus that He would be killed, let alone understand the resurrection. I just imagine Him looking there and just, guys, you just don't get it. You just don't get it. It just never registered with them what it meant. That is, until the resurrection was completed and an empty tomb was found. After His death, we find Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples, especially Peter and John, and said, "Something's going on, guys. The tomb's empty." And the angels told me that on the third day, he said he would rise. And what do you think what went through John and Peter's mind? What do you think went through their mind saying, "He's not there. We got to check this out. He's not there. Maybe he did rise. Something's going on here." And then when they got to the tomb, John stopped instantly. Peter, being the type A personality he was, went inside. Right, Peter? Went inside. And inside was the linen that wrapped Jesus. And also the face napkin that was folded up nice and neat. This wasn't a coincidence. The body wasn't stolen. Why would the napkin and the linen be folded in a nice and neat pile? Thank you, Kate. John doesn't pull any bones about it. What John says here, he saw and he believed. Then he remembered Jesus' words that on he will be raised to life. He will be raised to life. You can just feel and sense the change in these men's hearts that they realize he's not there. When they realize he's risen. When they realize he raised to life again. When they realize when the ladies told them later that he would appear to them. Hope was restored. Despair was put aside. That loneliness, that destiny, the loneliness went away and the destiny came back. And all those feelings of lost hope, the pain of the loss of Jesus, the depression that comes from thinking maybe the last 3 years were a lie. Nothing changed. No Messiah came. Literally, they had gone into their own tomb of emptiness and darkness, and now they were overpowered by the understanding that he's not there and that he lives again. It was truly an exciting moment for them that on the third day, he was no longer in the tomb. This is important. This is very important. Because we, many times as Christians, we don't live that resurrected life. We live that life inside that tomb. When there's nothing in there. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. He says, forget about it. Forget about it. If he's not raised from the dead, what are we doing here? Go home. Without the resurrection, there is no faith. There is no faith. And if we don't believe in the resurrection, we don't feel the power of the resurrection, then we live those dead lives. And that's not what God has for us. I want to show you a cartoon. Not as funny, but maybe so. But there's a tomb for rent. Listen to me, we don't need to live in our own tomb of hopelessness, of fear, of loneliness, of despair. We don't have to live in that tomb anymore. We really don't. That tomb that takes us down, that makes us feel boxed in, like we can't breathe and we can't move. Anybody ever feel that way? Being boxed in, we can't breathe, we can't move. We don't have to live there. We don't. We don't have to feel trapped anymore. Because on the third day, he rose from the dead. Every day we have to remember that the tomb is empty. every day we have to remember that there's nothing in it. And we don't have to live in that tomb. Because we are Christians, we have hope. And we're not afraid to explain the joy that's within us. The joy that Jesus Christ died for us. And he was raised to life. Raised to life. Luke 24, 5, 7 says this. From an angel to the ladies at the tomb. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Then they remembered his words. And where are you today? Are you entombed by life? Do you understand that you have been resurrected with Christ? That the Bible tells us that? Can you face every day in the morning knowing that he lives and that the tomb is empty? Can we do that? Easter should be every day for us. A time of newness, a time of life, a time to get out of our comfort zone, a time to do a Good Friday service, a time to reach out to the community, a time to give people the gospel of Christ, a time to kick up our heels. That's what every day should be. Question is, can you face each day knowing that he lives and that the tomb is empty? Think about that. Think about that today. Think about that tomorrow. Think about that every day. There's a song that I grew up with that it really tells the whole story of getting out of that box, that empty tomb. And forgive my voice, but I love this song, so I'm going to sing it to you. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Why don't you join me? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We're so sorry that we have bad memories, Lord. We're so sorry that we live in that tomb and sometimes we don't present ourselves as Christ livers. We don't present ourselves with you alive in us. Lord, help us to always remember that on the third day you were raised to life. That each day we need to live in the power of that resurrection. To be able to boldly go outside our doors, outside our comfort zones, to minister the gospel of Christ. Dear Lord, we love you so much. The message is so clear that you died for us. On Good Friday, you died for us and for all of our sins. And I just ask if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, maybe today is the day. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to think about this prayer. Maybe even pray this prayer. Lord, I repent of my sins. I just want to turn away from them. I want a new life in you. So, Lord, I repent of my sins, and I run to you, and I accept you not only as my Lord, but as my Savior that died for me. And then on the third day, you rose again. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you whether you said that prayer for the first time, whether today's the day that you've accepted Christ as your Savior. And if so, I ask that you put your hand up and right back down. Put your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Put your hand up. Right back down. thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Help us to step out of these doors with the hope that is within us, the joy that is within us, because you live and you are risen. And so we pray these prayers, Lord. We come to you with a lot of excitement and anticipation on how you're going to use us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and definitely all God's people said.